It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Sometime in the next 30 days, the Judicial Conduct Board will decide whether formal misconduct charges are warranted for Pennsylvania Supreme Court Justice Seamus McCaffrey. Earlier this week, Justice McCaffrey's fellow justices voted to suspend him, citing allegations that he sent or received sexually explicit emails, among other concerns. Justice McCaffrey has been ordered to turn over computers and other court-issued equipment. I'm joined now from Harrisburg by 90.5 WESA's Capitol correspondent Mary Wilson. Good day, Mary.
Hi, Paul.
These sexually explicit messages containing graphic images and videos were among messages sent or received by state employees and uncovered by Attorney General Kathleen Kane. Explain how this all came to the AG's attention in the first place.
It started with Kane's announcement that she would review the prosecution of Jerry Sandusky, who was convicted for child molestation. She said she wanted to open up the books and find out if the Attorney General's office, for part of that time under now Governor Tom Corbett, slow-walked the prosecution for whatever reason. So she, when she got into office, she began with that review. She brought in a special investigator to open up the state servers. At one point, she made an announcement that the investigation was taking longer than she thought because they were trying to recover deleted emails. These emails we're talking about in relation to McCaffrey appear to be those deleted emails. So far, several state and current and former state employees that were named by Kane as having exchanged some of these sexually explicit emails have resigned from their posts. It's this growing scandal, and now it's reached the judiciary. The reason we have it is because Kane investigated the Sandusky prosecution.
It was an investigation looking for one thing that turned up another.
Yep.
So questions have been raised about whether taxpayers footed any part of the bill when sexually explicit messages were sent. Explain why these questions have come about.
The scandals, you might know of them as the Bonusgate trials. The prosecutions of state legislators and legislative staffers for using political resources or state resources for political gain or personal gain in like the mid 2000s and late 2000s sent a lot of legislators to jail. Sent some staffers to the trial to defend their actions, and it set a higher bar for using any kind of state or resources for your public office for any kind of personal gain. That said, there are four justices on the Supreme Court. I believe it was the Philadelphia Inquirer that rustled up that four of them have home offices that are equipped by, that are paid for by the judiciary.
Is this unusual? I mean, it doesn't seem as though it would be, at first glance, common practice for the court to be setting up its judges with these home computers and email accounts and iPads, iPhones, the whole thing. All of which, by the way...
Yeah, that's a good question.
All of which, by the way, Justice McCaffrey has been asked to turn back in.
Right. It's a good question, and I don't have enough information to know if it's common practice. I've been paying very close attention to some of the trade magazines that are read by lawyers and members of the judiciary, and I haven't seen anybody raise that issue, but it's a good question.
So has anyone questioned whether a state Supreme Court justice and people in the top prosecutor's office, in the attorney general's office, should have such a chummy relationship in the first place that they're trading any kind of emails, let alone ones that are sexually explicit?
That has been raised. That was the issue raised by Chief Justice Ron Castile himself when he requested information regarding McCaffrey in particular, or any members of the judiciary who may have been seen in the email dragnet done by Kane's office. But I've heard a pretty good pushback to that, and that is that if the issue is fraternization, then shouldn't all the justices be asked to give up their files for a review of their relationships with prosecutors? And clearly, that's not what's happening. What's happening is emails that were that were collected by the Attorney General's office that were found to be trafficking in pornographic or at least explicit and somewhat offensive images, messages, videos, those were checked for names from people in the judiciary and then handed over to the Chief Justice. That's a very different thing than just a check for whether people are keeping their relationships ethical.
Besides the sexually explicit emails, there are other problematic issues related to Justice McCaffrey. What are they?
There's an allegation that he tried to fix a traffic ticket for his wife. There's an allegation that he, or reports that he allowed his wife to accept referral fees to plaintiff's firms while she was working in his office as a judicial clerk. A U.S. attorney has said that they're not going to press charges for that, that they're closing that case. And there's an allegation that McCaffrey tried to exert influence over the selection of a Philadelphia Court of Common Pleas judge in a way that was improper. So those are the things that were mentioned by the Chief Justice in his letter, concurring opinion when the court suspended McCaffrey.
We are talking with our Capitol correspondent, Mary Wilson, on the phone from Harrisburg here on Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. And we're discussing the Judicial Conduct Board's investigation into Pennsylvania Supreme Court Justice Seamus McCaffrey. Earlier this week, McCaffrey's fellow justices voted to suspend him, citing allegations that he sent or received sexually explicit emails, among other concerns. Mary, the Judicial Conduct Board has 30 days to decide whether formal charges against Justice McCaffrey are warranted. What can you tell us about how this investigation is proceeding?
Not much, I'm afraid. Everything stays confidential usually in these kind of proceedings. You don't hear from the Judicial Conduct Board usually unless they've decided they're launching an investigation and if they're going to refer it to the Court of Judicial Discipline. In this case, they've been asked to, I've been told this is an unlikely move, but they've been asked to say yay or nay whether they're going to pursue an investigation into McCaffrey or refer it to a Court of Judicial Discipline. There's an interesting weedy thing going on here, and that is who has final say over judicial discipline. And it's something that way, way back, the Supreme Court had that power, that they decided if judges were going to get any kind of disciplinary action. And in 1993, there was a constitutional amendment, and your very astute listeners probably know how hard it is to pass a constitutional amendment. It takes two consecutive legislative actions, and then it must clear a voter referendum. And that amendment said, no, the Supreme Court does not have the final say in judicial discipline. We're going to refer that to an independent panel and court. And so now we have the Court of Judicial Discipline and the Judicial Conduct Board. So just a couple weeks ago, that was challenged. Their say in final, as the arbiter of judicial discipline was challenged, and the Supreme Court snatched that power back, saying that, we should be able to, in extraordinary circumstances, step in and say we're going to decide a judge's, what happens to a judge. So this is going to test that. The precedent now, the most recent precedent, seems to be that the Supreme Court can suspend McCaffrey. And I've read that it's called a temporary suspension, but I haven't seen any commitment from the Supreme Court that they'll rescind it if he's cleared by an independent panel. So it looks like, that ruling by the Supreme Court to take that power back is going to be tested right here.
And in suspending Justice McCaffrey, Chief Justice Ronald Castile has likened him to a sociopath. That was his exact word in describing McCaffrey, and that's been put out there in the news and on blogs, leading court reform advocates to question and wonder about the animosity between these top jurists. What about this rare display, Mary, of personal animosity and the fact that these justices would allow this to get out there in front of the people of the Commonwealth?
Well, not just allow them to get out there, but purposefully put them out there. You know, for Castile, as you noted, it came in an official court document, a concurring opinion that he wrote, in which he likened McCaffrey to a sociopath. This kind of animosity, it's not completely new to the Supreme Court. You know, there's been a lot of talk about the early 1990s misconduct of a judge who was ultimately impeached by the legislature, Justice Rolf Larson, who was known for clashing publicly with a number of his fellow justices. And this kind of is reminding a lot of people of that episode. I've also heard people say, you know, this is what you get when you've got people who are elected to these positions. They are fundamentally politicians. That's how they get to these offices. McCaffrey was elected in 2007. And the other thing I would note here is that if it seems as if this clash, in particular between McCaffrey and Castile, which has been going on in the public for a few years, if it seems that that's reached a new high, the only context I have to go on here is that Castile is facing the end of his term, and he has said publicly he wants McCaffrey off the Supreme Court. He doesn't think that he should be there. And Castile has reached the mandatory age limit for a Pennsylvania justice. He's 70. So at the end of the calendar year, he's going to be gone from the Supreme Court. So he's you know, just in the most speculative terms here, I don't know his motivation, obviously, but he's got a limited amount of time to accomplish his goal, which he stated as getting McCaffrey out.
And before we wrap this up, we've got less than a minute, but another aspect of this story here is that Justice Michael Aiken publicly accused Justice McCaffrey of trying to strong arm Justice Aiken into a showdown with Justice Castile. In about 30 seconds, can you sum up what's going on here?
Justice McCaffrey said that he knew of emails that his fellow Justice Aiken had received that were also sexually explicit, and that he was going to hand those over to Justice Castile, and that if Aiken were smart, he would get out in front of this issue and encourage Castile not to take action against McCaffrey.
And so another strange turn in this story of all sorts of twists and turns involving Pennsylvania Supreme Court Justice Seamus McCaffrey. Mary Wilson, our Capitol correspondent, bringing us up to date on all of it. Mary, as always, great thanks.
Thank you. I hope it wasn't too confusing.
No, I think you did a great job. Coming up, Post-Gazette film editor Barbara Vancheri looks at a quality crop of fall movies. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.